Hey, I'm Alex.
And I'm Christina.
And we're
Poor as Shoes. Featuring
Matt. Hello.
This is our podcast.
We Want to Believe.
Where we discuss the complicated and sometimes crazy TV show,
The X-Files.
You know it.
You love it.
And now we're going to talk about it.
Welcome to episode 4 of We Want to Believe.
Oh shit, this episode is called Conduit.
Yay!
/ Lake Okeechobee.
Lake Okeechobee.
Lake Okeechobee.
Lake Okeechobee.
Oka what?
Boji. Okeechobee.
No,
that's not it at all.
It's Okeechobee.
That's what I said.
Okanagan Valley.
Okanagan. First of all, Okanagan's not even a thing.
Oh, no, wait. Okanagan.
It's Okanagan.
Yeah.
And in general, it's Okeechobee.
Oka what?
Boji.
Okanagan is funny, though.
Well.
That's a goodie. That's a goody, goody, goody.
Yeah. Lake Octopus, all right.
Lake Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, I didn't
Lake Okie Dokie. Okay.
Anyway.
And
scene.
Yes, that's what I meant.
That's all you need to know.
Cool. So here we go. We're past Halloween now.
Mm-hmm. Did anyone get haunted this Halloween? Did we make it out all alive?
Me, I'm haunted. I'm haunted right fucking now, bitch.
I've been dead for 30 years.
Oh.
So. Holy shit, that's a revelation.
Wow.
Did not know.
I'm fine.
Christina's the same.
I'm fine, I'm same. I'm good. Better than ever. Okay, so who won last week's? I think it was me.
It was you, Christina.
Yeah, you did.
It was me, Christina.
Well, yeah.
I
knew. I actually just listened to the last episode because I actually also couldn't fully remember.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know that it's you.
Woo!
And I was the one that decided it.
Feels good.
Inside.
No, I was talking about a different song. But okay. Okay. All right. Well, let's square off.
Okay. So So you go first because you won.
Okay. Yeah. But let me just refresh my memory for one second here of what happens.
I know exactly how you feel.
Okay, wait, no, I know. I don't know my approach, but I know what happens.
I made way too many notes and I don't remember anything. Okay, so Christina's gonna go first, right, Matt?
Yeah, and then whenever I got the clock thing going, so whenever you're ready.
Fire it up, Matt.
Count me down.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, and go.
Okay, so there is an abduction, and basically the person that gets abducted is the daughter of a person who'd done already seen a UFO out by the lake. Mulder and Scully go to bumfuck Idaho, Iowa, Lake Okeechobee, whatever the fuck, and they don't want to go, but they do go, and the brother of the girl that got abducted is haunted by a binary ghost, and it turns out that he's getting the defense satellite signal beamed into his brain through the TV. And, oh, okay.
I love how I was surprised.
None of
you
that
are.
Was anything.
Yeah. Oh my god, this is so hard.
I think that we need to extend. Can you even in 30 seconds?
No, I think we can.
I did it in 30
Matt
seconds.
Matt has
in
done
the
it.
Episode.
We
yeah.
know that it's possible.
It's possible.
That was a lot of it.
That was a lot.
That was like
of
the
it,
first 15 minutes.
No.
Yeah.
Matthew.
I'm telling
you will
you.
Come to find that I did a much better job than you think I did. But anyhow.
This episode's a slow roll anyway, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. 1, 2, and.
Okay. Ooh. So there is a girl that gets abducted by an alien seemingly, and her mom was also visited by aliens in her teenage years. And then it's an X-File. Scully and Mulder go to investigate it in Iowa. The kid, Kevin, he's the brother. He is, like Christina said, haunted by the binary ghost. And the NSA comes and tries to take this information away because he's got all this information that's, like, a risk. And then they're trying to figure out. But so Mulder's really invested in this case because it reminds him of his sister, Samantha, and how she got abducted. So he's really...
Oh my god. But you hit on a crucial part that I did not touch on.
No, I thought I was going to get so much further.
You shouldn't have referenced me
in
what I said.
You guys gave just too much detail, like, in the beginning.
I really thought that I was going to nail this one.
Man!
You gotta stick to brass tacks, you know? Like, fucking tits, ass, and, like, motorcycles. There you go.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's it.
Okay, well, whatever. Whatever, fine. I don't even give a care anymore. Award a winner.
So I'm going to give this one to Alex.
Yeah.
Because I said the thing about Mulder.
Yeah, you picked up on this episode being very critically important because it's about Mulder's sister and his attachment to his sister.
Yeah.
I think he should get over it, and that's why I didn't mention it.
I think it's not important to the plot at all of this entire series, and we should forget about it
right now. I don't know why he keeps harping on this.
Yeah, it's happened fucking...
Happened 30 years ago.
Get over it, man.
Fuck.
21 years ago.
Okay. Well, in 21 years ago in 1992, so... Do the math.
It's now, obviously, 30.
Yeah. It's been 9 years since 1992, as we all know. Fill in the blanks for us there, Maddie.
Yeah, what happened?
What did we miss?
Okay, so...
I like this episode.
Yeah, it's... I don't know, I was sort of torn on the episode, actually, but I understand why it's so important, because it's the first real episode where you get to see Mulder's actual obsession over his sister's disappearance when he was a child. So, yeah, the beginning is it's this woman. They're in Lake Octopus.
Oka what?
Boji. Oka Boji.
In Iowa or wherever. And... Iowa or Idaho?
Iowa. The last one was Idaho. Idaho, who cares?
Idaho, who cares?
Yeah.
First or second?
I don't know.
Iowa. I don't know.
I don't know. And...
I wanna know. Okay.
Her trailer is a rockin', so don't come knockin', right?
Oh, like, my God, yeah.
This lady, and there's a bright light, and she burns her hand on the door from whatever. And then...
it's hot.
Her daughter and her son are sleeping outside, and the question I had is there no bugs where they are? Like, they're just sleeping in sleeping bags outside of the trailer, like, on the ground, like...
I feel like it's after the time for bugs. I feel like it's, like, after, you know, the sun fully goes down, then, like, the bugs aren't really bugging you anymore.
Like, that's... So, the girl disappears. And in my head, I was thinking, like, no, she didn't disappear. She went somewhere to get away from the fucking mosquitoes because she's sleeping outside.
That's what I would do.
Like, in a sleeping bag, not in a tent, just on the ground.
I think it's because they wanted, like, honestly, the feeling that I got was that, like, they have this trailer, they take the trailer, they go out to, like, different places, and, like, the kids like to, like, in the summer, sleep outside. Like, that's the thing I would fucking want to do. So, like,
no, I see the appeal, but maybe... Just as I'm older, I'm just thinking about, like, getting eaten to death.
I know, I'm so allergic to mosquitoes. Mosquitoes I wouldn't be able to
carried,
take it.
Mosquitoes carried this girl away. Like, that's what
so
happened.
So many mosquitoes.
And they emit an extremely bright light. That's
you know what?
Hot.
If there were enough mosquitoes present to pick up a girl and take her away, they'd probably be pretty fucking hot.
That does get brought up in a future episode.
There we go.
So there you go.
Oh my God.
So there, that's coming. That's a coming.
So yeah, so that happens, and then, like, the mom,
Darlene.
I thought it was really cheesy. She, like, goes outside, and she's like, Kevin. So her son's name is Kevin. He's like this little weird twerp kid, and she's like, Kevin, where is your sister? And he's like, I don't know. I mean, there was bright lights and a lot of loud noises and shaking, but I was just asleep, man. Like, I don't know what's going on. Ruby's gone,
man.
And Darlene is just, like, calling her name, and it was so cheesy.
Ruby!
Like, just like
Ruby!
Just the full on staring at the sky, like full throated, arms, like, wide open, just Ruby. Like, it was just bad.
I can't say I could judge that, because I don't know. Like, if I had a kid, maybe that's what I would do, too.
If they just went missing?
Out of their sleeping bag. Who's Scully and Mulder's boss? That guy that's, like...
Not Skinner.
Blevins. Yeah.
He is like, you guys shouldn't take this... You shouldn't take this case, because the reason why Mulder wants to do it is because it's about his sister.
Yeah, and we get there's an actual X-file on Samantha Mulder.
Yeah.
So there you go. And Scully, again, she feels a little bit of sympathy for her partner there. And she goes, does. Let me just talk to him. And then they end up just going.
They go yeah. because Mulder's like, Darlene was a part of this group of people who right. was also like, I don't know, some they had some sort of extraterrestrial experience back in the day at Lake Okoboji.
Okoboji.
They took a picture.
Yeah.
They took a picture of a
flying
UFO,
Dorito.
Of a flying saucer.
Yeah. Flying Dorito.
It's it was back. Well, this one was round, so
a flying Tostito.
Aha. Tostito rounds.
A bite-sized Tostito.
Delish.
So can I put in one thing here, which yeah. is like when Mulder is just randomly caressing, and I wrote fingering the pictures of Ruby when they come to the house.
No, we all saw that.
He was like, and I was like,
what are you doing?
Let me describe it. He puts three fingers on the photo in different places of the photo, and it's something's wrong about this situation. It's like, and I don't understand
you
it.
You couldn't just pick the photo up and look at it wistfully to convey that you are weird about it.
I don't understand.
It's very odd.
Why do you need to finger blast a picture, dude? Like,
it's very, I don't know. He's got a whole technique.
It's quite weird.
And then Kevin, besides being a twerp, he is now haunted by this experience. And obviously, it's crazy the similarities between Mulder and his sister and like Kevin and Ruby,
I know.
Because like they're the same ages and it's the brother who got left behind and the brother who's haunted now, and Kevin is just staring at the
white noise
snow on the TV writing down
binary code
and they're like, cool, did you do this before this happened? Is this an existing hobby, something you picked up recently?
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna say, is this an existing haunting or
oh, was he haunted before or after the alien abduction?
Oh my god. And it's just like, so he's been apparently having nightmares and now he doesn't want to talk about it, but he's also writing binary code.
Right.
Then like so Scully and Mulder go to the FBI, the sheriff station, where in this sheriff station, they're using legit typewriters, I'm going to go ahead and say.
Yeah.
Judging by the clicking and clacking sound effects of this sheriff station, they're legit using typewriters. And the classic sheriff is like, obviously we've already talked about like the amount of sexism that exists in like fucking small town America. And like this sheriff is just like, Ruby was no prom queen. Therefore, her life does not matter.
She did it to herself. Who cares if she dies?
Yeah, like every sheriff in this show,
I know,
is like an utter butt goblin.
I know,
like, just fucking like, well, she was a teenager and blonde, so she's obviously a slut because she drinks and like.
Yeah, don't know how many times I pulled her out of a car, puking her guts out, and nothing you're saying is relevant to the current.
It's not illegal.
Existing.
It's not illegal. I mean, it is,
but it's not illegal. To
it doesn't
be
mean
drunk
you
in public.
Should die. It doesn't mean that you people shouldn't look for you when you go missing.
This is a statement that we need to make pretty clear on the show: is that we're not on this guy's side.
Yeah,
he has the wrong.
Yeah.
He has everything that's wrong with the fucking world, and it's a big problem. So anyways, they go to the library
because they go outside and Mulder finds a note under the windshield wiper and it's like, meet me across the street,
and they follow that
meet me
girl.
Under the bleachers.
I'm the bleacher.
It's deep throat. He's like, meet me under the bleachers.
Mulder. But he's like disguised as like
as
a
this blonde
girl
named Tessa, as we later find out. So they go into the library. She's being very shifty.
Talks about Greg.
Yeah.
Who's Ruby's BF.
Apparently,
she's pregnant.
Some friend. She's just like, Ruby is such... Ruby doesn't have any friends. And she just, like, hangs out with dudes and
she's
whatever.
Prego.
Yeah.
And she's pregnant and she's stupid. And Greg is also a bum.
And he works at the Pennsylvania pub.
And then
they go there. What do they do? But go there.
And then someone drops a bunch of books.
Oh yeah, distraction.
And then they turn to look, and when they turn back, she's gone.
Classic. Yeah. Classic
gown
distraction.
Girl.
Which I thought, like this, I feel like this episode was reaching for stuff to be spooky. Like,
yeah, because
like,
why does she need to be spooky?
Yeah, like, this girl is just gone, and the way the music happened, and, like, the whole sequence of events, I was like, this really isn't necessary for what this episode is trying to accomplish, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing has really been super spooky at up until this point in time. Like, why?
Yeah, there was a really hot doorknob, which, I mean, that would really, that would not make me feel good. She burned her hand, and that would hurt. That would hurt a lot, let's be honest.
Who doesn't love a hot knob, you know what I mean?
That's the bad kind of hot knob. That's not the kind of hot knob you want in your hand.
Oh, man, you just, play with the bull, you're going to get the horns.
Yeah.
And, of course, they go to the pub. Like, I don't think there's any episode of The X-Files where they don't somehow end up in a pub.
Right.
I don't know why.
But I love this scene, actually. Like, I just had it was very much like, I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle. Like, very...
Yeah.
Just everybody just stops and looks at them, and they don't care. They're like, yeah.
They're like, whatever. We're in fucking pantsuits. Give us a break. And the guy behind the bar is like, Greg's not here, and he hasn't been to work. So tell him if you see him that he's fucking fired. And he's got a UFO tattoo. And of course, who's interested in that sort of stuff?
Is it Scully?
No, Scully doesn't give a fuck.
It's Mulder. Mulder's like, whoa, a fucking gnarly burnt ear. That's so cool. You have obviously been abducted by aliens.
He has a UFO tattoo, and then the guy's like, ever been to Okoboji?
Oka what?
Boji. Okoboji.
Yeah, I love it because Mulder plays the skeptic for some way. He doesn't just, like, launch in. I thought he was going to just, like, be like, oh, cool, UFOs, dope. He was like, oh, do you believe in that sort of thing?
You don't really believe in that stuff, do you?
And the guy was like, I've seen some things.
He's a...
And Mulder's like, I don't know, I think they're just all a bunch of wolves howling at the moon. He's like, you going down to Lake Okoboji.
Oka what?
Boji. Okoboji.
Gonna see some things.
Gonna change your mind. And then he shows him
change
like,
your mind.
Sick burn ear. The look on Scully's face, for someone who's like a medical doctor, scientist, the look on her face when seeing this guy's ear is uncool. Like, she's like, oh.
Ew, that's gross.
No, thank you.
I've been up to my elbows in a man's intestine, but like a burnt ear, that's...
I know, she's like a live person. Yeah. Her facial expressions are pretty funny in the entire episode. She's like very like... expressive,
mm-hmm.
And her face is just really great.
And now it's time for one of my favorite recurring themes, Scully, vulnerable in her hotel room,
sleeping in bed,
and you know,
it's 5:30 a.m. at the Stay and Save.
At the Stay and Save, and a bunch of people are outside her door. They bust in with flashlights. Who's coming and knocking? It's the NSA, and they're all like, where'd you get this document from?
He's like, it's a document? I thought it was a fucking, I don't know. Yeah.
And then they go find Mulder, and he's not wearing a shirt.
Which is pretty great.
Sick. Great.
That's hot. I like that.
It's hot. And
what
then...
a bod.
He looks great, let's
he
be
looks
honest.
Really
he does.
Good. Yeah, he does.
They're like, this is a defense satellite transmission. And he's like, blah, 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 blah.
I love how they had to, at this point, explain, like, zeros and ones. They were like, information can be digitized in a series of zeros and ones. And they're like,
and
okay.
He's like, okay, binary code? Like, I don't know why.
Computers.
Yeah.
Okay, computer stuff. And then Scully's kind of like on the NSA side. She's like, well, they think he's a threat to national security. And Mulder's like, and they call me paranoid.
Yeah, like,
so true, though.
This is such
so
a great
example. Yeah,
like,
such a great, yeah.
It's such a good example of just Scully being like willfully ignorant for some reason. Like, why? Like,
she's like, the government has their reasons, Mulder.
Exactly. It was another like national security. They know better than us, Mulder.
Don't be such a sheep.
Which, I mean,
God.
Like, disappear, like, this obviously disappears over time. Like, we're only the, like, four episodes in season one, but...
Sorry,
but
Scully, we still love you, Scully.
Yeah, there's definitely parts in, like, the first season where you're like, Scully...
Come on, man.
Get with it.
Get woke, Scully.
What's wrong with
she's
you?
She's never been in the field, you know, so she doesn't know the kind of line you gotta walk when
And it's just a true thing. He's like, and they call me paranoid, and it's like... It's just, like, that thing that happened last year when, like, a kid got arrested for, like, making a bomb, and it was, like, his, like, science project for school, which was, like, a bomb at all.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, like, this kid's fucking 8 years old, like, and then they're, like, trashing his room and shit, and they, like, separate him from his mom.
happened to that kid, and so it happens to little Kevin in this episode, too. Like,
the NSA definitely knows how to be a bunch of fucking skid marks in this episode, for sure.
They literally trash his room, separate him from his mom. He's fucking 8 years old. And then they're, like, in their house, and Mulder sees that the top of the trailer is, like, singed.
Yeah. But also, they show them what all those, that binary code is. And they're like, when you render it, here's a picture of, like, Da Vinci's, that thing called? Like, the Vertulian Man or whatever. And then it's like, here's a Shakespeare sonnet. Here's, like, this fucking piece of classical music. I was like, what
the And then there's, like, there's, like, code for DNA and, like, waveforms of music and, like...
Yeah.
And it's just, like...
I'm like, wait a minute, what's happening right now?
A bunch of weird shit that I feel like, other than that point in time, like, everyone just sort of dismisses and ignores. Like, even like, Scully especially, like, except for Mulder. Mulder's obviously, like, this weird.
This is fucked.
This is fucked, and fucked things are happening, and we need to figure this out, because the boy's the key, and Scully's like, can we just go home?
Yeah.
Can we go home now? She's always
like, come on, Mulder, like, what are you fucking crazy?
But there is a moment when... Mulder's like, because they're like, okay, like, solved. It's like,
oh, yeah.
So he's like, let's just go. And Mulder's like, really? Because don't you think that's really weird, all that information that was, like, in the fucking code? And she was like, I don't know. They said it's, like, a statistical abnormality. Yeah. And she's like, and she doesn't even buy it. This is, like, a moment where she's like, that's not a satisfying answer for me, for once. And and that's kind of interesting to me, because it's the first time where she's just like,
I feel like there's another point where that happens later, and we'll probably get to it. But yeah, just like keeping in the sequence of events.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And she, so then they go and they see like Darlene and Kevin, and Darlene's like pissed. She's like, you guys were supposed to fucking help me. You fucked up my shit. And then Scully's like, Mulder, this isn't going to help you find Samantha. And then he's trying to find all these clues, and they like go to that beach, and then there's like sand that turned into glass, and he was like 400 and whatever degrees Fahrenheit.
It's so funny. He's like, she's like, it's probably lightning. And he's like, do you know how hot it is? Has to be to turn sand into glass.
Get woke, Scully.
It can't be lightning. But then I immediately thought, that's not what I learned in the movie Sweet Home Alabama.
I was gonna say, you ever seen Sweet Home Alabama? Because there's a lot of lightning turning fucking sand into glass, my friend.
There's a whole plot point in the romantic comedy Sweet Home Alabama starring Reese Witherspoon
and
Patrick Dempsey and some other cute guy. And this guy makes art by putting like lightning rods into the sand. And I guess because it's a lightning rod, it like catches it all the lightning and then it turns the sand into glass.
So Mulder's wrong that it can't happen. And
the more you know.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to Google this later.
Yeah, I don't know which one's right.
Well, we have made a lot of, like, random claims on this show or on this podcast. Like,
we're not
like,
about the facts, okay? No, we're about the fucking story.
Like, last week when we were talking about humors, and then I Wikipedia'd humors, and I was like, oh, I've been so wrong about all of this.
Oh, I felt like we were totally right. It was true. Black bile, yellow bile. Blood.
Or not, like, I feel like everybody else but me was right about this.
I feel like I was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about, so I was like ready to be informed, and then there was like a little bit of like a thing that was not agreed upon, and I was like, what's happening right now?
I think we just assume that anytime I say a thing about anything, I'm just wrong. That's
fine. That's not true. Matt is full of information. Guys, don't listen to that shit. That's bogus. So then they find a body in the forest, and Mulder, I don't know, for some reason, kind of thinks that maybe it's going to be Samantha's.
I had that same feeling.
Yeah, that was weird. He was like manic about it, but how did they get led to the pile of
rocks?
I
don't even remember.
Wolves. A fucking wolf.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which, like, LOL, because Mulder was, like, talking about wolves earlier, and lo and behold, there's like a creepy wolf that's like, follow me
to this dead
body. It was strange, and like I definitely got that feeling too, the way he was. Again, this is a perfect example of like Mulder destroying a crime scene. He just does things.
He's like, I have to see for myself.
He's like, I'm not gonna follow procedure and then impede further investigations into an actual serious crime.
Scully's like, you sick, what if you touch a dead body? He's like, I don't care.
I don't give a care, Scully.
What if you touch it though?
Ew.
Just so gross.
Turns out to be Greg. Who fucking cares?
Yeah, like seriously.
Greg. Yeah, Greg is...
Sorry, you died, buddy.
Greg is... What's her name? Rose's boyfriend? Ruby's boyfriend, Ruby Tuesday, that's it.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday.
Yeah.
Ruby Tuesday's boyfriend is named Greg, and Greg is like, part of that like motorcycle gang, I guess. And
Is
and
he?
Yeah.
That was really confusing to me. I did not understand that. Yeah, there's a lot of motorcycle gang
thing happening. Yeah, I think I do kind of understand it. Yeah, I don't know.
But like, that's who's buried out in the woods.
Yeah, it's it's old Greg. And then...
Old Greg. I'm old Greg! Greg Bailey's out of a shoe!
Old Greg Randall!
Then they interview the library informant girl, Tess, and Mulder goes full bad cop.
Oh, yeah, some good old-fashioned police work here.
He's like, Mulder going all bad cop.
Yeah.
He's all like, what are you doing? Like, you were in love with Greg, and you hated Ruby, and you killed them both, and you were waiting in the shadows, and blah, blah, blah.
It's like, whoa. Everyone's like, okay, what?
And she's like, Ruby wasn't even there. And he's like, how do you know if you were also not there?
He just, like, can't give up. And then they go back to the house, the Morris house, and they see that Kevin drew, like, this big portrait of Ruby in binary code.
Also, fun fact about that, they didn't, like, when they did the episode, they originally did the photo in ones and zeros, but they typed it out, like, from a computer. And they were like, no, that looks too...
perfect.
Like, too perfect. So they got some poor woman in, like, the art department to spend, like, a week doing the ones and zeros in pen.
Oh my god.
So that it looked more like a kid.
These
drew
are the
it.
Real heroes of television and film.
Seriously,
my
it was so good. What a great
I thought
scene
you were
going to
say that like David Duchovny did it. I thought it was going to be like the Titanic where like the story behind like the naked drawing of like Kate Winslet was actually done by James Cameron.
What?
Yeah, James Cameron drew that. I thought that was going to be like
really?
What you were going to
Was
say.
Kate Winslet really naked?
Yeah, I think so.
Is this
what do you mean, was she really naked? Yes.
This isn't like a Harvey Weinstein situation, is it? Like,
no.
What do you
it
mean,
was
what
like,
do I mean, was she really naked?
When you
I mean,
see
like.
The hand sketching.
Oh, it's James Cameron's
hand. James Cameron.
I thought
does
you meant,
sketch.
Like, the finished fucking product. And I'm like, well, she doesn't need to be naked for him to do the picture, like, in general. Like,
no, I'm saying. Like, was she. I thought you were asking, like, was she ever naked? Or, like.
Like, in her life? I'm sure she's never been naked in her fucking life. Like, I don't know Kate Winslet.
Anyways, I thought that it was going to be like, actually, fun fact, David Duchovny did the fucking binary code.
No.
Pick.
Oh, it was just some poor lady who worked in the art department.
Good for her, whoever you are.
Yeah.
Shout out.
You got this shit.
I love that scene because it's. I don't know. I think it's like this bigger metaphor for like perspective. And for once, Mulder is the one that's looking at it too closely and he doesn't see what it is. Scully, by virtue of she's going up the stairs, gets the bird's eye view and sees that it's actually a picture. And then she is like, that's fucking weird.
This is such... I know, it's so interesting because I feel like this episode can... It's like the things that they're like, oh, maybe it's just this. It's like in this episode could actually be true. Like, is this just a statistical aberration? Yeah, maybe he was just trying to draw a portrait of his sister in binary code this whole time and everybody analyzed it like it was something more than it fucking was. Because it just happened to be in ones and zeros.
I suppose.
And then... Yeah. And then they find the trailer and then they go through the woods and then they... See, and then he finds Darlene, and she's all like, "And the children were screaming."
What?
Sorry. That's a thing from Hook, you know.
Oh.
Never mind. So then he finds Kevin, and he's in this clearing, but he's going towards this big bright light. But then it turns out to be
motorcycles.
Oh my god!
I feel like driving your motorcycles through a forest is bad for it.
Guys,
like, why would you do that?
This is so weird because I actually had a dream like a few nights ago that I drove a motorcycle through the park like near my parents' house, and that I felt really bad about it because there were children around.
Ooh.
And then I watched this episode, and it's super weird. It's super coincidental.
Maybe you're draw something in binary code right now, and we'll see if it's a portrait of me. Low-key portrait of me.
I think everything I draw is a portrait of you. That's how much I love you. Whenever I pick up a pen, it just automatically sketches your face.
Drawing Christina's pretty face.
And I'm always just like, Mrs. Christina. Like, that's me. Sorry. I know that really makes sense.
That doesn't even make any sense.
I thought you were going to say, like, Mrs. Christina's. Like, you guys
are
married.
Like, why would you just write my own name?
You know, traditionally,
how
a woman takes a man's name and then she's like, I'm Mrs. Matt. But I'm Mrs. Christian.
Give my full name out into the universe.
Yeah, now everybody fucking knows. I mean, everybody already knows.
Oh, sorry, buddy. We can cut that part out.
There's lots of Christina in the world. I'm not concerned. We can put I'm that actually up. Christine Chun.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm Alice Chun.
Christine and Alice Chun. Alice twin sisters.
Christine, twin sisters. Identical twin sisters.
My name is just Bam. Bam? Just straight up Bam. Or Ryan, or Larry, whichever.
Whatever you want
to
call
Bam wants it to you.
Yeah, Bam Margera.
Bam Margera.
That's me.
Oh my god, didn't he die?
No. No. But
he just
sold.
Got fat, that's all.
One of their friends just got totally old, died. Got Ryan?
Steve-o? Ryan Dunn, yeah.
Oh, Ryan. Oh, man.
That was a few years ago, though.
But well, yeah. He still died.
He did die.
Yeah. He did die.
He died in like a car accident or something.
R.I.P.
Anyway.
After the motorcycles.
Can... Then, we back up for just like once before the motorcycles. So like Mulder and Scully have this really like Mulder has this really sad conversation in the car with Scully.
Yeah.
He's just like, I have this moment where I walk into my bedroom with my eyes shut. And when I open them, Samantha is there. And it's very sad. And like the very, I feel like you finally get an idea of how intense this is. For Mulder. Because up until that point, it's just Scully saying things to Mulder like, I know why this case means a lot to you because you think of your sister, but he's never really given any indication that that's why he's doing it. He's just like, no, this girl is missing and I feel like there's a whole bunch of like holes in whatever people are saying to me and maybe she's been abducted but whatever. But he doesn't actually kind of go out there and say it. It's Scully who's saying like, this is, you know, this is why you feel this way. It's because it reminds you of your sister. And you don't really get that until they have this car ride out to figure out where the trailer is gone. And he's saying like, no, like, honestly, this haunts me like it to does. This day.
I'm still walking into that room. Every day of my life.
And it makes him think that the same thing's going to happen to Kevin. So when Kevin is like,
oh, yeah.
My sister, I can feel that she's back. And Mulder's like, she's just not, dude. She's not coming back.
Yeah.
So that like affects his ability to like reason in the situation. And then Scully starts like screaming bloody Mulder, as I like to call it.
Oh my God.
And it turns out Ruby is back.
I know, and you know what? In a way, I kind of felt bad for Mulder. Because it's like, too. Why does Kevin get to have his sister back?
I know.
And Mulder is still wondering and searching. For sure. And I mean, it's nice for Kevin, obviously. But he's still going to be fucking so weird forever.
Yeah.
For sure.
And Ruby is like super disoriented and she doesn't really remember stuff. And then like her mom is like, I don't want you guys talking to her. I don't want anyone talking to her. Let's just make the story that she was taken by the motorcycle gang and then she got brought back. Which like... Honestly, it's another one of the things in this episode where it's, like, a theory that could actually be true.
It totally could. Like, I really don't understand the role of the motorcycle gang. Like, I feel like I never heard anything about them until they just came out of the fog. Like, I don't
I don't know. Other than Darlene's side of the story where she touches the handle and it's hot and there's, like, an earthquake. The only thing that Kevin says is that he doesn't know what happened. He just saw a bunch of bright lights.
Right.
So it could have been the motorcycle gang riding by.
Right, okay.
And they took her.
Right.
And then they brought her back.
But there's some scientific evidence that suggests that Ruby went a little further than for a motorcycle
ride.
What, if
she got warts on the back?
No, because after Scully does, like, looks at her chart and is like... Yeah, she's fine, except for the fact that she has, like, way too many white blood cells.
Yeah.
And then Mulder's like, what about her blah, 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 blah.
Her glucomotive.
And Scully's like, how did you know that?
Off the charts.
And Mulder's like, those are symptoms of prolonged weightlessness.
Yeah.
No, I think is alien abduction, but I'm just saying that this was an episode where it was, like, actually debatable whether or not something extraterrestrial happened, whereas all the other ones was, like, this is totally fucked up and not, and like something fucked up happened. This one was like, it's actually kind of hard to tell what the hell happened.
Well, I was wondering, like, do they normally test for prolonged weightlessness when someone comes back from a motorcycle trip? I don't get it, but it's interesting. Very, very interesting.
And like now Scully just has access to this, to the file that has a bunch of, like, she's listening to tapes of Mulder talking to like a hypnotherapist and stuff like that. I'm just like, why does she have her hands on this? And, like, it seems pretty personal, and I don't know if she should be listening to it.
Yeah.
But she is, and Mulder is just like, take me to church.
his awful fake crying. Like, David Duchovny,
I'm
sorry, dude. Like, you just can't, you're not so good at like, the fake crying, like, it's just not a thing that you do well.
Mm-hmm. You're good at other things.
Yeah, you're good at other things. You're good at just being, like, a handsome dude.
Mulder.
I can't wait.
But, like, that's, yeah, the crying bit was not so good.
And but like, on that tape, the most iconic thing mm-hmm, happens where, mm-hmm. like, the hypnotherapist dude is like, do you believe the voice? And he's like, I want to believe.
Yeah.
And I was
so
like,
so good.
Boom, mic drop, so good. Yeah, I know. What a great moment,
like,
yeah.
And that's the whole beginning of, it's like, almost feels like this is where the series begins, truly begins.
I think it's true. And I think, like, as much as you were saying that it's really kind of an invasion for Scully to be listening to the tapes, because obviously that's Mulder being super vulnerable and like all of this.
Yeah.
I think that more things that make her feel sympathetic to him, the easier it is for her to go along with plans that she doesn't really agree with.
Yeah.
Right? Because she can see what's motivating him, and it's something that is super
easy
to empathize with. Like, he just is fucked up, and like his sister is taken, and he can see, you know, reverberations of that in a lot of things that are happening around
them.
You can definitely tell she cares. She cares, like, even if she's like, I don't know what actually happened to your sister, like, you're my partner and I care about you and I want to know, like, what happened, what's going on.
Yeah.
How you feel about this.
She's getting a little bit more invested. On Matt's note of, like, how we were just saying, like, Mulder, you're good at other things and, like, the fake crying and stupid, but you're good at being a handsome dude, I have to read this excerpt from Wikipedia about this episode.
Okay.
So, this is about, like, the reception of the episode. In a retrospective of the first season in Entertainment Weekly, Conduit was rated a B, with the episode being described as an excellent for background for the series, though it was noted that Duchovny gave a performance that makes Wood look lively.
Oh, that's...
Like, what?
That's harsh.
What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know if it's good or... Like, when I think about it, I'm like, makes Wood look lively. Like, is that good or bad? Is he the Wood that looks like?
Or is he so great at acting that he makes Wood look like it's alive? Which, that doesn't make sense.
He had a very wooden performance.
Yeah, maybe.
Up in Lake Okoboner.
Oka what?
Boji. Oka Boji.
Whatever.
Lake Okoboner, where Wood comes alive.
Exactly.
Makes Wood look lively. Like, I think that's a saying, and I don't know what it means, but I knew that I had to read that out loud because I wanted to know what you guys thought. And you also don't know. So it's
I have
very
no
funny.
Idea. Other
makes
than,
Wood look lively. Like,
he's saying,
it sounds like a burn.
I think it is a burn. Because I think for someone who's supposed to be, like, emotionally tormented, he doesn't super seem emotionally tormented.
Oh, I see. It's just, like, he's the Wood, and he's, like, he literally is kind of, like, a piece of wood that has some human characteristics.
No, I think it's, like, if you were, like, David Duchovny plus a wooden statue beside him, people would be, like, I think the one that's alive is the wooden statue.
Oh, my
because
God.
Because this guy's moving less than that guy.
I don't know.
I want to hear what you think.
No, see, I don't know if it's so much like David Duchovny's acting ability, because I feel like he has the ability, but I wonder how much of this is just, you know, Fox Mulder as a character, because he's supposed to be a little bit socially introverted and, like, kind of emotionally stunted, and I think it's supposed to be a play off of, you know, the experiences he had as a kid, like the way his sister being abducted completely fucked him up, like, as a person.
I'm sorry, I know I'm laughing, but I'm just thinking about how Wood looks lively.
Like Blake Lively?
Like, I just, can you tell me what they mean by he gave a performance that makes Wood look lively?
He gave a performance that made an inanimate object look interesting.
So that's good, then.
Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing?
No, it's a bad thing. He's saying, like, he,
I can't
like...
tell.
I think it's, like, compared to your face, a statue emotes more than you.
Exactly.
That's what
exactly
I said.
No, I think it means that. I think it means that he himself is the statue, but has some human characteristics.
What?
Like, he is, like... No, I don't think
he's a wooden statue that's come alive, but still
would
is
he
wood.
Be a wooden,
still
that's
is made
not
of
how
wood.
You would talk about somebody. Like, it's like, it's like you're as smart as if you were a dog who's also a little bit smart. Like, fuck does that mean? Like, your smartness makes dogs look smart. It's like, what?
Yeah.
This
you
is
make,
like,
you make dogs
okay,
look
so
intelligent.
I don't actually think that this is like a common phrase. So now it's like, I'm really, this is, I'm just going to say this right now. I'm stumped.
Was this like the build the whole time?
Yeah.
Just
it
so
wasn't.
I just thought of that right now.
How long have you been
you.
Planning
I wasn't.
That.
I wasn't at all. But honestly, I couldn't like stop thinking about this. Like makes wood look lively. I think this will, I'll be thinking about this for the rest of my life.
The rest of your life. Not, I will really forget sad. About this by the end of today.
I will not let you fucking forget it. I'll bring it up every day of your life.
Oh my god. Okay, shall we move into our segments?
Yes.
Yes, let's do it.
Mulder Lodge.
Mulder logic.
I think that Kevin is a conduit of some kind.
A conduit.
A link or a connection to whoever or whatever took Ruby that night.
Welcome to Mulder Lodge.
My favorite Mulder logic moment is when he says the thing about the weightlessness syndrome.
Because true. That was great.
This is actually, I don't know, it's like factual, but supports something that is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
So I love that. It's perfect.
Very smart. Very smart. Very I would have said the same smart. Thing for Mulder
personally?
Logic, actually. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying that you would have
I'm very smart. Yeah.
If I was a wooden statue of yeah. Mulder,
I would have asked the same question same about thing. Weightlessness. Yeah. That's what I thought you were saying.
No. No. I'm dumb as rocks, but like Mulder in the show.
And
is,
I was
like,
it's very conflicting. You said earlier in the show that you nothing you say is right and you're and like everything you say is wrong. And then
exactly.
Just then you
oh my God.
You compare you claim to know as much about weightlessness as Mulder.
No.
Everything
I say comes out wrong. It never comes out right.
No, I thought it was really funny because
so
I
So why
thought...
don't you and I
Is that a song?
Yeah,
continue.
It is.
Continue.
No,
go on.
So why don't you and I get together? We'll aim for the moon, straight on to heaven.
The moon.
The moon, which yeah. is maybe where Ruby was.
And where wolves howl too.
Once again, I'm thinking of the lyrics of, I can't remember this fucking song. Chad Kroeger sings it.
Oh, good.
But with Carlos Santana.
No.
Oh, good.
No.
Oh, good.
No, not that song. Yeah. I hate all
I don't
of
know
those
that
songs.
Song. I don't know that song.
It's like, oh, how does it go? Wait, say the lyrics again?
No, see, I didn't say them right. I'm pretty sure it's wrong.
I know exactly the song you're talking about, and I yeah. hate it. And I hate all those, like, collaborations with Santana. And it's just like
oh,
the
really?
Ocean.
Even Smooth? You don't like Smooth Rock?
I fucking
rock
hate
like
that
you're
song.
A fucking liar.
I fucking hate that
People
song.
People love that song.
No, I hate it.
It's
I don't
hit.
Like it. No.
It's a hit.
But I want to know what this song is. What? Just give me the like, title of it, and I bet I could sing it.
Just literally Google Santana plus Chad Kroeger. How many could there be?
It's honestly called just Why Don't You and I.
Oh, oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Yeah. I know this song. Just give me the more of the lyrics. Read the lyrics out. Sorry, we're gonna have to. End
so
this
I'll
part.
Say, why don't you and I get together and take on the world and be together forever? Heads we will, and tails we'll try again.
Okay, let me see this for a second. What?
I will. I just spoke and worded that like William Shatner.
I was just gonna say how very William Shatner of you.
Okay, actually,
I can't bring myself to sing it, so...
You know, you
just
can't
try
spell William Shatner without Shat.
Give me the melody. Give me the melody.
No.
No.
No,
it's
I'm
mine.
Not, yeah. So I say, why don't you and I hold each other and fly to the moon
oh
and
God.
Straight on to heaven?
Why has this I become a spoken word fucking documentary?
We got so off track.
I know. Okay, so
anyway.
Mulder logic. I'm yeah. just going to take it back. Here's my Mulder logic. The thing that I like about Mulder is that he's like basically psychic and just says stuff that like, why do you know it and what is it? Like how he knows the X-Files so well
mm-hmm.
that this name Darlene Morris, it's like, he just is like, he just stands there with the fucking article like already on the projector and lets Scully read out the other article just to be like, aha, Darlene Morris.
Already pointing at her name.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, why do you know? Why do you? He must have some kind of like photographic memory. And I think he's just really just psychic and really smart. The other thing that he says is funny is when they're on the beach and they're like, and he's like, look at the tree line. It must have been caused by extreme heat. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I've never heard that in my, I don't know. It was like such a weird thing. Like maybe if there's a forest fire, but there's not a forest fire. I just don't understand what that logic is. Like, I'm just like, when you look at a tree line and you can tell whether or not it's caused by extreme heat. I don't know.
No, well, you can though. Cause it's like the top parts of the trees are the only parts that are burnt. Like if it was a forest fire.
Oh, I didn't see that. All I saw was just like a tree line and a smog. Smaug, if you may.
And a smaug.
And that's why they're so singed, because there's a dragon.
I think that what's weird to me is that all of a sudden UFOs are really hot. But like before, when we saw a UFO, it was not hot.
It's just like how...
Remember when it flew over Mulder and he didn't get burned by it?
Yes.
So wait, are UFOs hot or not?
He still has both his ears.
I think that like the X-Files is like more of an anthology of different interpretations of UFOs. It's like how like vampires are in all these different, like, you have like Anne Rice's interpretation of what a vampire is, what a vampire is, you know what I mean? And like it's just like all these different ways that this like thing can be experienced or interpreted. So I think it's like they are all these different things, and we don't know which is true.
Or maybe they're just like they're lots all of true. Different
yeah
ones.
They're all from different and galaxies. Different some of them are hot. Some of them are not.
Some are not.
Sure. Yeah.
I think we just solved that fucking mystery.
Ding, ding, ding.
I believe in a multiverse theory, so I totally am on board with that.
See?
There you go.
Yeah.
What about Scully's debunk?
Do you really think Tessa Sears is telling the truth?
Why not? What if Ruby never did show up that night?
She lied to us in the library. She lied to us about her pregnancy. What makes you think she wouldn't lie to us about killing Ruby?
Probably for me, like, there's a few points when, like, I'm trying to think of specific debunk situations where she was like, Mulder, this is not your sister's case.
She's like, you can't be serious, Mulder.
But then I was also thinking, Mulder's like, what could cause, like, so much heat? And she's like, lightning strikes, obviously. This is lightning strikes going on here. Like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Get woke, Scully.
She actually didn't go to her go-to explanation of people being fucking crazy.
I know.
She didn't even accuse Kevin the 8-year-old of being crazy. So she's sensitive to kids, guys.
Yeah.
Just kids, and she didn't accuse that wolf of being crazy either. So she's sensitive to kids and animals.
It's really, she just thinks Mulder is crazy. That's it.
Yeah. And I think that her, it was not so much a debunk, but it's another recurring thing, and we already kind of touched on it, is always the part in the episode of The X-Files where Scully is like a kid on a trip to the grocery store that never wanted to go to begin with, and is like, can we go home now?
Yeah. That
we're only halfway through the aisles, but like, can we go home now?
Yeah.
That has been a recurring theme, definitely. Just like, I'm tired of being in some fucking shitty town. And
Mulder's like, why should we give up? And she's like, A, I'm tired. B, I want to fucking go home. C, that's enough reasons. Let's go.
D, everyone here is sexist as fuck. And as a woman, I don't feel totally comfortable that my safety will be looked after in this town.
I don't want to lose my ear. Just please get me the fuck out of here.
To a hot flying dick or whatever the fuck.
I just want to go home and have a bath.
Like, a bath for uninterrupted
in my life.
By a monster.
By a dude who can stretch through vents and shit. Yeah. I just want to go home.
Does Scully, like, this should be a recurring question. Does Scully ever get to take a bath?
Or have an uninterrupted sleep? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
Maybe not.
We're gonna have to. Yeah. We're gonna have to really pay attention to this going into the next episodes.
Yeah, man.
I guess if she does, there's no reason to show it. So like, there would be no point of showing a scene where she just sleeps successfully and wakes up,
or she like enjoys a long bath, and it's just like Enya playing.
That's a different show.
And who can say whether they fall?
And then Mulder is narrating it because it's actually Red Shoe Diary.
Yeah. Well.
That could be a sick crossover episode, by the way. Chris Carter.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Season 11.
Skulder Watch.
Mulder, I know what you're thinking. I know why this is so important to you.
Skulder Watch. We've talked about this a bunch, but my thing for Skulder Watch, there wasn't a lot really in this episode, but I think the main thing to me is the emotional side of things of mm-hmm. how sensitive Scully is to the situation that Mulder's in and how he's lost his sister and how caring she is and wanting to like be really sensitive to that. And I think that that shows like an emotional bond.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I would shift that.
I would say like at even at the beginning too, when she's talking to Blowjob or Blevins or whatever his fucking name is.
Yeah.
And he's like, do you know about, you know, this case? Has he confided in you? And Scully doesn't really say anything. And he's like, it's fine. Like, I'm not going to come down on him about it, you know. And she was like, well, I understand this about this case and blah, 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 blah. But her conversation with Blevins is very much like, you definitely get the feeling that she's trying to, like, protect him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he, like, their boss brings up, you know, I need to understand if this is affecting his professional judgment. And in my head, I'm thinking like, oh, so now you're worried about his professional judgment? You haven't been trying to shut his like show down for the last however long?
Didn't Mulder like create the X-Files and would just like convince them that he should do it?
No, the X-Files has actually been around for a long time.
Oh.
But that comes up in like a later fun episode.
I don't remember. So. See, this is so fun for me because it's like starting from scratch.
He like rediscovers the X-Files. It gets like kind of shuttered at some point, but then
he like convinces them that he should do it. That he should work on the X-Files.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have like a Skulder? I already brought up that they always end up at a bar together. I think they're destined to get drunk.
They do. Yeah, they definitely do.
That's a good point.
They also are always destined to see each other in each other's motel rooms.
True.
In their skivvies. Again.
And their bed hair, like.
Did you notice that Mulder stopped eating snacks out of his pocket all of a sudden? Like, what's the deal?
He's on a diet.
I'm sure he'll make a return to that.
I like the pocket full of sunflower seeds, Mulder.
Yeah, I got a bucket full of sun seeds.
Oh my god, best special effects. I know what this is. In the opening scene, when the UFO first comes for Ruby or whoever it is, and it's like shaky cam to the max. It's just
when the trailer is a rockin'.
Is a rockin'?
Don't come abducted. Oh my abducting.
God. It was so fucking crazy. I loved that. I was like, sweet.
Yeah, I'd say there's not a lot of SFX in this in this episode. Yeah, the motorcycle headlights was one. And yeah, the earthquake at the beginning. That's all I said. No, it's not. That's just touching on how little special effects there are in the show.
Low budget.
Yeah. You don't need special effects when you got a great storyline and an all-star cast.
That's true. That's so true.
What do you think, Matt? Any?
Yeah, like there really wasn't a whole lot going on in terms of special effects, so
that kind of made this episode slightly boring.
Yeah, it was actually it felt kind of slow, really. Like I understand why it was important, like the Samantha Mulder bits and also, I don't know if anybody recognizes, but they weren't in the Taurus. They weren't in the Ford Taurus. They weren't in the Oldsmobile.
They weren't in anything.
They were in a Buick.
Classic Buick.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, like, how many cars is enough? Really?
It's never
enough. They just get whatever's on, like, sale at the place.
Like, how upset
is that?
How upset is this
the
Ford
FBI
Taurus?
Fucking rental car depot. Yeah.
How upset is the Ford Taurus, do you think, at this point? He's like, you're jealous. Cheating on me with like the Oldsmobile, now you're cheating on me with the Taurus. With the Buick. Like I think we get to you, baby. Like
come on, man.
Come back to me.
Wasn't I a good car?
Yeah.
I have so many things
to
say
ride
right
me
now.
Again.
I just want you to be inside me.
Oh god.
Mulder and Scully, just get inside.
Get inside. Come on, hop in. Hop in the Ford Taurus.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Does anybody have any ratings that they want to share?
I give this episode 3.5 hot knobs out of 5. I thought it was great. I thought maybe it could have been spookier. Mm. I feel like the introduction of motorcycles made me really confused. Yeah, so true. That's all I thought.
Matt?
I guess I'll give this, like, 3 missing girls out of 5.
Oh.
Oh, damn. 3 missing girls that we never found. It's weird. Yeah, sorry.
No, I just... I don't... Like, I understand, like, why this episode is important for, like, just the mythology mm-hmm. aspect and Mulder's background and sort of, you know, kind of explaining things to Scully from, like, how Mulder feels about things. But I don't know. I just kind of got bored.
Yeah. You know what? I feel the same way. I think that we're all on the same, sort of the same page on the numbers. I give this 3 okabojis out of 5.
Okay, what?
Boji. Okaboji.
Just because I like saying okaboji. But
oh, okaboner.
Yeah.
Okanagwan.
Okanagwan. I just... It was good for establishment of the storyline, but overall, like, slightly... boring of an episode.
And kind of a come down from the Tombs episode as well.
Yes, yeah. But you know what? There's less excitement.
You know what I think would have made this so much better? If Ruby didn't come back in this episode, but came back in a later episode.
And also, if she didn't come back.
The suspense, like.
Yeah, if she didn't come back with a band of motorcycles, also. Like,
if she just came back. Yeah.
There wasn't, like, continued excitement throughout the episode. It was like, oh, there was an exciting occurrence at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, a sort of weird thing that happens at the end. But in between was, like, not a lot of excitement.
Yeah. And I think, like, we said earlier, I can't remember who said it earlier, but just it very, like, very well could have been, like, very plausibly could have been, like, she was just hanging out with motorcycle dudes. Like, it's the first episode mm-hmm. I think we've seen where things can be rationally explained.
Yeah, it's like, it's actually debate. Like, we all want to believe because we want to think it's something, but, like, it could be rationally just, like, explained.
Which
but
I think is good.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a good aspect to bring.
It's an interesting part of this mm-hmm. show.
To this episode, but.
Yeah, but I just think, like, for an episode that is so important in establishing more of Mulder's backstory, it's weird that this is an episode that comes to a conclusion. And maybe I'm wrong. Like, maybe this girl shows up later. I don't know. I don't remember. But it's kind of interesting to me, like, something so important to the overall mythology has a resolution.
Well, like, in terms of the writing, I don't really know everything about, you know, what the plans were, but mm-hmm. it's possible that they thought that they might this show might wrap up sooner, or that they would solve this Samantha thing sooner, and that, like, this was only worthy at the time of writing this episode, this was only worthy of one episode.
Yeah, that's true.
But, like, yeah, when you look at it, like, retrospectively, it mm-hmm. could have meant a lot more.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Did you know that the kid who plays Kevin comes back and not his Kevin?
Oh my god, I love that. I love that, like, Kevin? Just a completely different character.
An entirely different character. He comes back in season 2.
Shit, that's so cool.
Like, completely different.
Because he's such a dope-ass actor.
So
believable.
He looks disturbed like no one else.
Yeah. That's all so right. funny.
Getting that good binary. Gotta get those ones and zeros.
That's why they brought him back. Like, yeah. You drew such great...
You nailed it.
Ones and zeros.
Ones and zeros, yeah.
Well, until next week.
Goodbye.
So long. Bye-bye. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye, babies.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast,
We Want to Believe. Brought to you by Poor's Shoes.
Featuring Matt.
Tune in next week when...
Mulder and Scully track a legendary creature that has roamed the New Jersey countryside for over 40 years in this episode called The Jersey Devil.
Ooh. Oh my gosh, I'm excited.
It's actually just like Chris Christie, like, rolling around.
In Cheeto dust.
In Cheeto dust.
That's where he was
born. Bothering people. Yeah.
Ew.
It's where it all begins.